The two interpretations of the classic tale, Wet Saturday, here on Scalds Hall on CITR 101.9 FM.
The Columbia Network takes pleasure in bringing you Suspense. A new series of programs with one strict purpose in view, your entertainment. Each week at this time, CBS sets aside 30 minutes to excite you, to mystify you, and on occasion to horrify you with a catalog of the world's great thrillers, dramas from the stage and screen, from fiction and radio, dramas that bring you Suspense. This, the second offering of a new series, is a unique one. Certainly, it is one of the very few pieces of suspense literature that somehow manages to tickle your funny bone while busily engaged in tingling your spine. Make no mistake, though, nobody's kidding. CBS presents its adaptation of John Collier's well-known short story, Wet Saturday.
Never saw it rain harder. I'm Princey, Frederick Princey, just an ordinary family man. I have a son, a daughter, and a wife. I might be out golfing now if it hadn't been for the rain.
I'm Mrs. Princey. I plan to drive over to the nurseries this afternoon for some arbiters. The boarders, you know. But
oh, the whole lot of them make me sick. Yes, I'm George, son and heir. I had a date to go punting. Couldn't find the blasted continental weather, so I'm home, too.
I'm Millicent. I was going to play croquet. That's how I happened to have the malady.
Yes, that's the Princey family. We find them at home. Mrs. Princey, Millicent, George sprawled on a couch, Mr. Princey biting on a dry pipe. Their living room is dull and overstuffed. Rain beats at the windows. They are any middle-class family at home on a wet day, except for one small item. As you sit with them in the living room, you can see through the door to the sun porch a pair of men's feet encased in black boots. They look like the feet of a curate. There's a tenseness in the room. The air is charged with excitement, but the feet are very still.
Don't keep staring at them. Listen to me, all of you. Don't you see? They'd hang her. That's what they do. They'd hang her.
Oh, Fred, it's too awful.
Awful? Catastrophic? A supposedly sweet, gentle, intelligent girl, respected, loved by the whole village, doing a thing like this. Think of the publicity, the disgrace. You think I'm going to resign from the bench, the best way? Sell out and live in some foggy hotel abroad? Oh, no, no.
No. No, I'll kill myself. I will. I will.
Don't be a fool.
Any more than you have been, the governor being.
Be quiet. Wouldn't be so bad if it were you. Everybody in the village knows you're not responsible. George.
Yes?
Get off that couch. Sit up on your spine. You might be of a little use here if you could think.
Listen, Governor, this isn't my funeral.
Oh, shut up. As long as I can remember, George, you've been a trial and a tribulation to me.
Oh, I can't stand it. I can't stand it.
You've got to stand it, my dear. And keep that hysterical note out of your voice. You hear?
Yes.
We are talking about the weather. Now, George.
Yeah?
George, if he fell down the old well, say, striking his head several times, what about it, eh?
I really don't know, Governor. What about it?
Don't be an ass. I'm asking you to think. He'd have had to hit the side several times in 30 or 40 feet, and and at all the correct angles. Now, I'm afraid not. We'll have to go over it all again.
Oh, no, Father. No. I couldn't.
Millicent, we must go over it all again.
Oh, Fred, you're torturing her.
Oh, face facts, Mater. With him lying there, there's no use pretending it's a picnic.
They might hang you, Millicent. Oh,
for enjoyment throughout the world.
Salud, your health, senor.
Roma toasts the world. The wine for your table is Roma, made in California for enjoyment throughout the world.
This is the man in black, here for the Roma Wine Company of Fresno, California, to introduce this weekly half hour of suspense. Tonight in Hollywood, Roma brings you the MGM star, Mr. Charles Laughton. The suspense play which stars Charles Laughton and which is produced and directed by William Spear is called Wet Saturday. This remarkable and sardonic story is rather difficult to describe. It most certainly isn't a whodunit, is it, Mr. Laughton?
No, it definitely isn't. The question involved is not at all a matter of whodunit. It's a matter of whether or not the whodunit is going to get it in the neck, and if not, then who is, regardless of who actually done it? It's very complicated.
Very well put, sir.
And before the curtain rises on suspense, will you eavesdrop with me a moment? Dinner is over. A delightful dinner in one of the great homes of a land far to the south. And one of the guests is complimenting his host.
Ah, Raoul, your reputation as a host grows with each of your magnificent dinners. That superb wine tonight, where did you find such perfection?
I will tell you a great secret. When I visited our good neighbor and ally, the United States, I tasted the wines of their California and knew instantly it was a great wine country. And I learned that some of their very choicest vineyards produced the wine we enjoyed tonight. Roma wine.
Our good neighbor to the south is right. Our own sunny California provides perfect conditions of climate and soil to produce some of the world's finest wines. And note this. What your wine connoisseur of another land prized as an expensive import, with import duties and high shipping costs included in his purchase price, comes to you from the great Roma wineries in California as an inexpensive American product. Roma's wide varieties of types and Roma's modest costs means that you can enjoy these fine wines often when entertaining guests, as a pre-meal appetizer, to serve with meals, or for after-dinner enjoyment. You will be amazed at how little your dealer will ask for an assortment of several types of these fine Roma wines. Visit your dealer tomorrow and ask him for Roma, R-O-M-A, America's largest selling wine. Made in California for enjoyment throughout the world.
And now, with Wet Saturday and with the performance of Charles Laughton, we again hope to keep you in suspense. On this rainy afternoon, we should like you to meet the Princey family and their visitor. They are, of course, at home. Mrs. Princey, daughter Millicent, George, the son and heir, sprawled on a couch, and finally, Mr. Princey, fighting on a dry pipe. Their living room is dull and overstuffed. Rain beats at the windows. They are any middle-class family at home on a wet day, except for one small item. As you sit with them in the living room, you can see through the door to the sun porch a pair of men's feet encased in high black shoes. They look like the feet of a curate. There is a tenseness in the room. The air is charged with excitement, but the feet are very still.
But don't keep staring at them. Listen to me, all of you. Don't you see? They'd hang her. That's what they'd do. They'd hang her.
Oh, Fred, it's too awful.
Awful? It's catastrophic. A supposedly sweet, gentle, intelligent girl, respected and loved by the whole village, doing a thing like this. Think of the publicity and the disgrace. Do you think I'm going to resign from the bench, the vestry, and sell out and live in some foggy hotel abroad? Oh, no.
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 I'll kill myself. I will.
Don't be a fool.
Any more than you have been, the governor, me.
Will you be quiet? Wouldn't be so bad if it were you, George. Everybody in the village knows you're not responsible. Get off that couch and sit up in your spine. You might be of a little use here if you could think.
Oh, but I say, Governor, this isn't my funeral.
Shut up. As long as I can remember, George, you've been a trial and tribulation to me.
Oh, I can't stand it. I can't stand it.
You've got to stand it, my dear. And keep that hysterical note out of your voice. Do you hear?
Yes.
We're talking about the weather. Now, George.
Yeah?
George. If he fell down the old well, say, striking his head several times, what about that?
I really don't know, Governor. What about it?
Don't be an ass, George. I'm asking you to think. He'd have had to hit the side several times in 30 or 40 feet and at all the correct angles. No, I'm afraid not. I'm afraid that won't do it. Oh, we'll have to go over it all again, Millicent.
Oh, no, Father. No, I couldn't.
Millicent, we must go over it all again.
Fred, you're torturing her.
Oh, face facts, mater. With him lying there, no use pretending it's a picnic.
We might hang you, Millicent. Oh, do stop that shaking. Stop it, Millicent. Stop it. You must stop it. You must keep your voice quiet, Millicent. We are talking about the weather. Now we will proceed.
I can't. I can't, not with those feet there.
You should have thought of that, Millie. I'm not moving her.
Shut up, George. Yes. And stop shuffling your feet. Now, Millicent, look at me. And answer me truthfully. Do you hear? Answer me. You were in the croaky court?
Yes.
Who knew you were in love with this wretched curate?
The whole village knows. They've been sniggering about it in the pub for the 3 years past.
Shut up, George. Millicent, we continue. You were on the croaky court?
Yes.
You were putting the croaky set into its box?
Yes, it was starting to rain. I was carrying the balls and mallets into the sun porch. The box was there.
You heard someone enter the garden gate and come across the yard?
Yes.
Could you see who it was?
Not at first. I was going into the sun porch. I threw down all the mallets but the red one and turned round.
And it was Withers?
Yes.
So you called him?
Yes.
Loudly?
Oh.
Did you call him loudly? Could anyone have heard?
No, Father, I'm sure not. I didn't really call him. I just spoke his name. He saw me as I went to the door and he just waved his hand and came over.
Now, can I find out from you whether there was anyone about, whether he could have been seen?
I'm sure not, Father. I'm quite sure.
So you both went into the sun porch?
Yes, it was raining hard there.
What did he say?
He said, hello, Millie, and excuse his coming in the back way, but he set out to walk over to Liston.
Yes.
And he said, passing the park, he'd seen the house and suddenly thought of me. And he thought he'd just look in for a minute. He had something to tell me.
Yes, go on.
He said he was so happy he wanted me to share it. He'd heard from the bishop he was to have vicarage. And it wasn't only that. It meant he could marry. And he began to stutter and get all confused. And because I thought it meant me.
Don't tell me what you thought. Tell me exactly what he said. Nothing else.
Yes, answer, Governor.
Well,
crying. It's a luxury you can no longer afford. Tell me what happened.
He said, no. He said it wasn't me. It's Ella Bragdon Davis.
Oh.
And he was sorry and all that. Then he went to go.
And then?
I got mad. He turned his back. I had the red mallet of the croak he set in my hand. I'd forgot to drop it in the box when I came and I was just...
Did you shout or scream? I mean, as you hit him?
No. I'm sure I didn't.
Did he? Now, come on, speak up. You got a tongue in your head.
No, Father.
And then?
I threw it down. I came straight in here. I went to look for Mother. That's all.
My poor baby.
And you're sure no one else was about?
No, no one. No one.
Leave the child alone, Fred.
You're not such a child, Mater. Oh, Millie. I had no idea.
George, will you keep quiet? I'm thinking. You see, George, he probably told people he was going to Liston. Certainly no one knows he came here, for he didn't decide until he crossed the park. He might have been attacked in the woods. We must consider every detail. A curate with his head battered in.
Oh, don't, Father, don't.
Oh, shut up. A curate with his head battered in. A curate with his head battered in. Well, who would want to kill Withers?
Who'd want to kill Withers? Well, I would, with pleasure. How do you do, Mrs. Prince?
Well.
Sit down. Pray you mustn't get up for me, Mrs. Prince. You are the Millicent, my word, but I'm just being neighborly on a bad day. I wanted to ask you about those dahlia bulbs, Princey. I took a shortcut on account of the rain and walked right in. I knew you wouldn't mind.
He heard you, Father.
Oh, dear. We can all have our little jokes, can't we? Don't you pretend to be shocked. This way, Smollett. This chair facing the fireplace, old man. Sit down, Mother.
Just straighten the curtain to the sun porch, dear. It looks so gloomy out there. Might as well shut the rain out.
Well... We were just talking about a little theoretical curate killing, Smollett. Young people these days like killers.
Parsonicide? Justifiable parsonicide. You heard about Ella Bragdon Davis?
Mm.
I should be a proper laughing stock.
Why should you be a proper laughing stock, Smollett?
Oh, I had a shot in that direction myself.
Did you?
She half said yes, too. Hadn't you heard? She told most people. Now I look as if I were jilted.
Too bad.
Oh, the fortune of war.
Yes, fortune of war. Yes, odd how that happens, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sit down, Smollett, old man. Mother, Millicent, would you console Captain Smollett with your best light conversation? George and I have something to look at outside. The rain, you know. Very bad, very bad. Come along, George.
Right, Governor. Perhaps we'll need raincoats, huh?
Oh, I don't think so, George. Just make yourself at home, Smollett. Make yourself at home, old boy.
A cigarette, too, Captain Smollett.
Thank you. Nasty day to be going out.
Oh, it's something about the old well just off the sun porch door, you know.
Yeah.
This terrible sudden weather seems to have loosened some of the stones.
Too bad. Too dash bad. Spoils the tennis and the croquet. I mean, a day like this, doesn't it, Millie?
Yes, it does. She was practicing out on the croquet court earlier. But do pull your chair nearer the fire, Captain. It was so damp, we thought it would be cozy to light it.
Thank you. I'm quite comfortable.
I hope you don't feel too bad about Ella Bragdon, David.
Oh, can't always win, you know. Can't understand what you women see in these bloodless clerics.
Oh, I always thought Mr. Withers was is a very charming man.
I quite agree, but why should anyone want to marry him? You wouldn't want to marry him, would you, Millie?
Not now.
What?
That is, I used to... Oh, no, of course not.
Yes, Prince. Good Lord, man. You come on fairly suddenly.
I suppose I did. you don't mind this old double-barrel shotgun, do you, Smollett? Mm-hmm. I've been working on it, sir. Might I have your attention for a minute? There's something on the sun porch I'd like to show you.
Yes, of course.
Smollett, George and I went out to see if we could shoot some rats which had been driven out of the old well by the high water. We were afraid they might get into the house. But you must listen to me very carefully, very carefully, or you'll be shot by accident.
Princey, what's the matter with you?
You heard me ask as you came in who would kill Withers. You also heard Millicent make a comment, an unguarded comment.
Well, what of it?
Very little, unless you were to hear that Withers had met with a violent end this afternoon. And that, my dear Smollett, is what you are going to hear.
What? Withers dead?
Yes.
Who killed him?
Millicent.
Good Lord.
Oh, shut up, sniveling Millie. Yes, it's a mess. And of course you would have remembered and guessed.
Oh, maybe, yes, I suppose I should.
Therefore, you constitute a problem.
Why did she kill him?
It's one of those disgusting things. Pitiable, too, I think. She deluded herself that he was in love with her.
Good heavens. Millie, yes, of course, I see.
He told her about the Davis girl, Ella Bragdon Davis.
I understand.
I have no wish, as you will comprehend, that she should be proved either a lunatic or a murderess. I could hardly go on living here after that, could I? Besides, I'm rather fond of Millie.
Quite.
On the other hand, you know about it.
Yes, I see. That makes me a problem. You were wondering if I could keep my mouth shut, if I promised?
I'm wondering if I could believe you.
But if I promised?
If things went smoothly, yes. But not if there was any sort of suspicion or any questioning. You would be afraid of being an accessory.
I don't know.
I do. What are we going to do?
I can't see anything else. I mean, you'll never be fool enough to do me in. You can't get rid of two corpses.
Well, I regard it as a better risk than the other. It could be an accident. Or you and Withers could both disappear. There are possibilities in that, of course.
Listen, you can't...
I can. But there may be a way out. There is, Smollett. You gave it to me yourself.
I did? What?
Well, you said you would kill Withers. You have a motive.
Oh, look here now. I was joking.
Listen, Smollett, I can't trust you. You must trust me, or else I will kill you now in the next minute. I mean that. You can choose between living and dying.
Go on.
There's the old well just outside the sun porch door. That's where I'm going to put Withers. No one outside knows he's come up here this afternoon. No one will ever look there for him unless you tell them. Now, you must give me evidence that you have murdered Withers.
I murdered him? Why do you want that?
So that I shall be dead sure that you'll never open your lips on the subject.
I see. What evidence?
George.
Yes, Governor?
Hit him in the face. You keep out of this.
Captain, you should be more careful. Look what your teeth did to my knuckle.
Do it again, George.
Okay.
Father, how can you?
You keep quiet, Millie. Stop sniveling. I'm sorry, Smollett, but there must be traces of a struggle between you and Withers. Then it will be not altogether safe for you to go to the police. Now, George, would you get the croquet mallet?
Oh, right, okay.
And, George, take your handkerchief to it. You'll find it there on the sun porch floor.
Yeah, I got it, Governor.
That's right, boy.
There, Captain, there's the weapon.
See, as I told you, Smollett, there it was. Now, if you please, just grasp the end that mashed Withers' head. I shall shoot you if you don't.
Good Lord, you can't.
There.
All right.
That's it, old boy. That's right. Now, deposit it by the side of the house. Out of the rain, of course. Now, wait, George. First, you'd better pull a few hairs out of his head and put them under the nail of Withers' right hand.
Wait,
I'm sorry to mess your hair up, Captain.
Don't be a baby,
Smollett. That's all we need. And I'll pull Withers, and we'll fix it right up. I'll be right with you, Governor.
Smollett, you may turn round now. Withers is just there in the sun porch. Draw back the curtain, old man.
Good Lord.
Yes. Messy. Now, you, Smollett, now you've just got to drag him through the door and dump him in the old well.
Just beyond the door, Captain.
I won't touch him, I won't.
All right. Stand aside, George. Out of range, George. Just over there. Okay. There's only one place I want this charge of shot to go to.
Father!
Now, Millie, you keep quiet and stop sniveling. My aim is...
Wait a minute. Wait, I'll...
That's better. That's better, Smollett. Much better. Now, go along now. In here. You've got to take him outside, old boy.
Why, the shoulders ought to do it, Captain.
You keep quiet, George. Now, go on, Smollett. Go on. Under the arms. You've seen dead men before. Now, don't go green. Drag him out. Drag him, old boy. Do a little pulling. I'll just hold the gun here to make sure. Everything goes all right. Steady now. Mind the step there.
Mother!
Come away from the window, dear. Don't look.
But Captain Smollett...
Your father is a very resourceful man, Millicent. I'm sure what he's doing
is... But Captain... I can't stand
it. You mustn't question your dear father.
Hey, you two still at it. There's enough trouble around here without blubbering.
Don't you call me blubbering, George Prentice.
Well, you see, Smollett, everything is perfectly safe. If you remember, you see, that no one knows that Withers came here. Everyone thinks he walked off to Liston. He's had 5 miles of country to search. They'll never look in our well. Don't you see how safe it is?
I guess so.
Good heavens, old boy, you're dripping wet. Why don't you slip your raincoat on? Is the tea ready, dear?
In just a minute, dear. I'll ring for Bridget.
It's exactly what you need, Smollett. A nice, hot cup of tea. It's the best thing in the world to ward off a cold.
Sit down, won't you, old man? Don't you mind getting the chair wet. That's all right. Would you have a cigarette?
No.
I hope so, poor boy. See, I stick to my pipe. Funny how you get attached to pipes. My wife always says to me...
Everything's up, ma'am.
Oh, Bridget, yes. Put the tray in front of me here on the table. That's it.
Say, Captain. Why, you cut your lip.
I just knocked it.
Why, how dreadful. Here, Bridget, give the captain this cup.
No, thank you. I rather think I'll be running along, if you don't mind.
Why, Captain Smollett, without any tea.
If you don't mind, Mrs. Princey, just have my raincoat.
Oh, I'll get it for you, Captain.
This is very distressing, Smollett. Very odd.
I'll be all right presently, I'm sure.
Oh, here we are. Let me help you, sir.
Thank you, young man.
There.
You'd better go out the front way, Smollett. The walk is drier.
Oh, let me hold the door for you, Captain.
And don't worry, old fellow. Don't worry at all.
No. Good afternoon.
It's nothing serious, I imagine. Dear, a little rest, of course. He'll be as right as rain. Oh, by the way, Millicent, you're not looking any too well, dear.
Not well at all. I'm sure it was that croquet court. Being outdoors in weather like this is simply foolhardy.
Yes.
Oh, mate is right, Millie. You saw what happened to Captain Smollett.
Come along, dear. I shall give you a hot foot bath and put you to bed. A couple of days in bed and you'll be fine again.
Now, you get plenty of rest, Millicent, and don't you worry about a thing. That's the best cure for you, dear.
I guess I'll have a little nap, too, Governor. Fine afternoon for a nap.
Yes, it is. Nice. Indeed it is, son. Well, enjoy yourself, boy. I'll see you later. I'll see you all later.
The number, please.
Would you get me the police station?
Police station? Right away, sir. Police headquarters. Sergeant Yancey speaking.
Oh, hello, Sergeant. This is Princey of Everett's Road. I believe you know me.
Oh, indeed I do, Mr. Princey.
Sergeant, a rather horrible thing has just occurred. Quite extraordinary. It's murder, in fact.
Murder?
I'm afraid it looks rather bad. Well, for a close friend of ours, unfortunately, we saw him do it. I think you'd better send someone over right away.
Well, our man should be there right about now, Mr. Princey.
I beg your pardon?
I say our man should be there now. Constable Morton has his post right below your house there, just riding in. Seems Captain Smollett was with him.
Captain Smollett?
He reported some rather queer goings-on at your place, but I certainly didn't understand it was murder. But just don't touch anything, Mr. Princey, and don't worry. Don't worry at all.
No, Sergeant. I won't worry, thank you.
Governor, where are you?
I'm right here, and stop shouting.
We have some visitors, Governor.
Oh, I can see that. I'm not... Well, Constable, good afternoon. Hello, Smollett. So what a remarkable fellow you are, coming back like this, here to reenact the crime.
Only the one against me, Princey. The one against the curate I'll leave to you people.
Extraordinary sense of humor you have.
Mr. Princey, I just had a look at what's in your well. Not a pretty sight, that. Not pretty at all.
Yes, Captain Smollett was thorough, if nothing else.
You saw him when he did it, sir, out in the back?
Oh, yes. Oh, quite. We were just returning from a walk, and Smollett had evidently been laying for the curate, hiding out in those bushes by the road, I imagine.
He was never inside this house?
Never.
And you say, Captain?
I say that while I was inside this house, a guest of the family, I was coerced into dragging the curate's body outside and dumping it in the well.
Well... there we are.
Well, not entirely, Constable. I'll just remove my raincoat here and demonstrate how damp I got my clothes when I went outside without it.
Now, that's interesting, isn't it?
Yes. He undoubtedly removed his coat at some point between here and your post. I might as well tell you that his weapon, a red croquet mallet, is out by the side of this house. I shouldn't be at all surprised that you'd find his fingerprints all over it.
All over the end of the mallet, Constable. The end that mashed Withers' head. Not the end I'd have to grasp in order to do the mashing.
Governor, that's a decent try, Smollett, but it won't work. Oh. There must be other evidence, Constable. You'll undoubtedly find it when you examine the body.
He means the hair under Widow's nails. Well, sir, I happened to notice something when your young George there opened the door for me. If you'll carefully look, I believe you'll find a few of my precious hairs under his nails, too.
But what are you trying
Shut
to
up,
say?
George, will you? Constable, this is a complete waste of time. So far as a violent struggle between Smollett and Withers is concerned, Smollett's face speaks for itself quite eloquently.
But no more eloquently than your son's knuckles. Huh? As you see, Constable, a fresh abrasion. He did that on my teeth. Did he?
What?
I said, or did he? He might have done that on Withers' teeth.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
I see what you mean.
Oh, but no, I didn't, Governor. He said that I didn't.
Now, okay, you keep still, you nitwit. Let me think. Let me think.
As a matter of fact, George, the more I think of it, the more I'm convinced it was your voice I heard. Quite a vigorous quarrel. Something about the curate jilting your sister.
Don't be ridiculous, Smollett.
Very well, Pincey. If he didn't do it, who did?
Yes, that's what I'd like to know. How about it, Mr. Princey?
Yes, that is a sticker, all right.
George, my boy, it looks to me as if you're elected.
Elected? Well, what do you mean? I didn't do it.
Keep your mouth shut,
Will. Well, I won't, sir. I'm not going to take the blame for her. Millie did it. She did it with the mallet. I saw her.
Me?
Why, you?
Millie? You could prove that?
Prove it? Yes. Yes. Her fingerprints on the mallet.
Why, George, don't you remember when you made me touch the mallet when you picked it up with your handkerchief? George, I'm sure you wiped that handle clean. Well, I can hardly expect you to remember that if you can't even remember killing the curate.
I told you to keep still, George. I am thinking.
But, Gunther, you're not going to let him say that.
As long as I can remember, George, you have been a trial and tribulation to me.
What?
You shouldn't have done it, George.
Oh.
You shouldn't have done it. Now let's all have a nice hot cup of tea. Warm the cockles they are. Very good for you. Mother, where is sugar?
And so closes Wet Saturday, starring Mr. Charles Laughton, tonight's tale of suspense.
In just a moment, we shall hear again from Mr. Laughton. But first, let me ask you a question. Isn't it true that things we most enjoy are so often the little extra things, and more often than not, something that pleases the taste? That suggests a bottle of...
How do you listen to CITR? Do you stream it with your data? You could be getting it free on your phone with the already installed FM receiver chip, but major carriers have blocked access to it. If you want access to all your favorite CITR goodness on your phone, get involved. Visit freeradiomyphone.ca to see how you can get involved by contacting your carrier and signing our petition.
Tonight, we take pleasure in bringing you Suspense, a weekly anthology of notable melodramas from stage and screen, fiction and radio, presented each week to bring you to the edge of your chair, to keep you in suspense. It's a wet Saturday. Never saw it rain harder. I'm Princey, Frederick Princey. Just an ordinary family man. I've a son, a daughter, and a wife. I'd be out golfing if it hadn't been for the rain.
I'm Mrs. Princey. I planned to drive over to the nurseries this afternoon for some arbutus. The boarders, you know, but...
Oh, the whole lot of them make me sick. Yes, I'm George, son and heir. I had a date to go punting. Punting. Couldn't find the blasted punt in this weather. So, I'm home too.
I'm Millicent. I was going to play croquet. And that's how I happened to have the mallet.
Oh, don't keep staring at the sun porch. Listen to me, all of you. Don't you see? They'd hang her. That's what they do. They'd hang her.
Oh, Fred, it's too awful.
Awful? It's catastrophic. Well, suppose this sweet, gentle, intelligent girl, respected, loved by the whole village, doing a thing like this. Think of the publicity, the disgrace. You think I'm going to resign from the bench, the vestry, sell out and live in some foggy hotel abroad? Oh, no, 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 no.
No! No! I shall kill myself! I will!
Oh, don't be a fool.
Any more than you have been, the governor means.
Be quiet. Wouldn't be so bad if it were you, George. Everybody in the village knows what a worthless ne'er-do-well you are. George, stop laying on that couch like a lump. Sit up on your spine. You might be of a little use here if you could think.
Listen, Governor, this isn't my funeral.
Oh, shut up. As long as I can remember, George, you've been a trial and a tribulation to me.
Oh, I can't stand it. I cannot stand it.
You've got to stand it, my dear. And keep that hysterical note out of your voice, you hear?
Yes.
Just act as if we were talking about the weather. Now, George.
Yeah?
George, if he fell down the old well, say, striking his head several times, what about it, eh?
I don't know, Governor. What about it?
Don't be an ass. I'm asking you to think. He'd have to have hit the side several times in 30 or 40 feet, and at all the correct angles. No. No, I'm afraid not. I'm afraid not. We'll have to go over it again, Millicent.
No, I couldn't. I could not.
Millicent, we must go over it all again.
Oh, no, no. Fred, you're torturing her.
Oh, face facts, mater. With him lying up there in the sun porch, there's no use pretending it's a picnic.
They might hang you, Millicent. Oh, stop that shaking. Stop it, you hear? You must stop it. Stop it. And keep your voice quiet. Millicent, we are talking of the weather. Now, we will proceed.
I can't, not with those boots there.
Oh, you should have thought of them boots before, Millie. I'm not moving them.
Sit up, George. Stop slouching. Now, Millicent, look at me. Answer me truthfully, you hear? Answer me. You were in the croquet court.
Yes.
Who knew you were in love with this wretched curate?
Who? Well, the whole village. They've been snickering about it at the pub for 3 years past.
What a filthy mess. Millicent, we continue. You were on the croquet court.
Yes.
You were putting the croquet set into its box.
Yes, it was starting to rain, and I was carrying the balls and mallets into the sun porch. See, the box is kept in there.
You heard someone enter the garden gate and come across the yard.
Yes.
Could you see who it was?
Well, not at first. I was going into the sun porch and I threw down all of the mallets but the red one and turned round.
It was Withers?
Yes.
So you called him?
Yes.
Loudly? Did you call him loudly? Could anyone have heard?
No, Father. No, I'm sure not. I didn't really call him. I just spoke his name. He saw me as I went to the door. He waved his hand and came over.
How can I find out whether there was anyone about? Whether he could have been seen?
I'm sure not, Father. I'm quite sure.
So, you both went into the sun porch.
Yes, it was raining hard then.
What did he say?
Well, he said, hello, Millie. and to excuse his coming in the back way, but he'd set out to walk over to Liston.
Yes?
And he said, passing the park, that he'd seen the house and suddenly thought of me. And he thought he'd just look in for a moment, that he had something to tell me.
Go on.
He said he was so happy, that he had wanted to share it, that he'd heard from the bishop that he was to have a vicarage. And it wasn't only that. It meant that he could marry. And of course I thought he meant me.
Don't tell me what you thought. Tell me exactly what he said, nothing else.
Well...
Oh, stop crying. It's a luxury you can no longer afford. Tell me what happened.
He said no. He said it wasn't me. It was Ella Bragdon Davis. And he was sorry and all that. And then he went to go.
And then?
And I went mad. He turned his back. I had the red mallet from the croquet set in my hand. I forgot to drop it in the box when he came in.
Did you shout or scream? I mean, as you hit him.
No. No, I'm sure I didn't.
Did he? Come on, speak up.
No. No, Father.
And then?
I threw it down. I came straight in here. I went to look for Mother.
Oh, my poor baby. Oh, leave the child alone, Fred.
Not such a child, Mater. Millie, I had no idea you were capable of...
Keep quiet. I'm thinking. You see, he probably told people he was going to Liston. Certainly no one knew he was coming here, for he didn't decide until he crossed the park. He might have been attacked in the woods. We must consider every detail. A curate with his head battered in.
Oh, don't, Father, don't!
A curate with his head battered in. Now, who would want to kill Withers?
Kill Withers? Why, I would, the beggar. How do you do, Mrs. Princey?
Captain Smollett.
Oh, sit down, pray. Mustn't get up for me, Mrs. Princey. You either, Millicent. My word. Just being neighborly on a bad day. I wanted to ask you about those dahlia bulbs, Princey. Took a shortcut on account of the rain and walked right in. Knew you wouldn't mind.
Oh, he heard you, Father.
Oh, my dear, why, we can all have our little jokes. Don't pretend to be shocked. This way, Smollett. This chair. Facing the fire. Sit down, Mother.
Oh, just straightening the curtains off the sun porch, dear. It's so gloomy out there, might as well shut the rain out.
Oh, just talking about a little theoretical curate killing, Smollett. You know, young people these days like thrillers.
Parsonicide. Justifiable parsonicide. Have you heard about Ella Bragdon Davis? I shall be most properly laughed at.
Why? Why should you be laughed at, Smollett?
Oh, I had a shot in that direction myself. She half said yes, too. Hadn't you heard? She told most people. Now it'll look as if I got turned down for a white rat in a dog collar.
Oh, too bad.
No, fortune of war.
Yes, fortune of war. Odd how it happens, isn't it? Sit down, Smollett. Millicent, console Captain Smollett with your best light conversation. You too, Mother. George and I have something to look at outside. It's this rain, you know. Bad, very bad. Come, George, make yourself useful for a change.
Righto, Governor. Maybe we'll all need raincoats, what?
No, I don't think so. Just make yourself at home, Smollett. Make yourself at home.
Cigarette, Captain Smollett?
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Nasty day to be going out.
Something about the old well just off the sun porch. You know, this sudden weather seems to have loosened some of the stones.
Oh, too bad. Dashed too bad. Spoils the tennis and croquet. I mean, a day like this. Doesn't it, Millie? I say, doesn't it, Millie?
Oh, yes, it does.
She was practicing out on the croquet court earlier. But, oh, do pull your chair near the fire, Captain. It's so damp. We thought it would be cozy to light it.
Thank you. I'm quite comfortable.
I hope you don't feel too bad about Ella Bragdon Davis.
Thank you, Millie. Very kind of you. I'm all right. After all, can't always win. Just can't understand what you women see in these bloodless clerics.
Oh, I always thought that Mr. Withers is a very charming man.
I agree. But why should anyone want to marry him? You wouldn't want to marry him, would you, Millie?
Not now. Oh, that is, I... of course not.
Smollett?
Good Lord, man. You do come in on a fellow suddenly.
Yes, I did. Oh, don't mind this old double-barreled shotgun. I've been working on it. Smollett, may I have your attention for a minute? There's something on the sun porch I'd like to show you.
Why, yes. Yes, of course.
Smollett, George and I went out to see if we could shoot some rats, which have been driven out of the old well by the high water, afraid they might get into the house. Now, you must listen to me very carefully. Very carefully, or you will be shot. Shot by accident.
Princey, what's got into you?
You heard me ask you as you came in who would kill Withers. You also heard Millicent make a comment, an unguarded comment.
Well, what of it?
Very little, unless you were to hear that Withers met a violent end this very afternoon. And that, my dear Smollett, is what you are going to hear.
What? Withers?
Yes.
Who killed him?
Millicent.
Good Lord.
Yes, it's a mess. And of course you would have remembered and guessed.
Maybe. Yes, I suppose I should.
Therefore, you constitute a problem.
Why did she kill him?
No, it's one of those disgusting things. Pitiable, too. She deluded herself into thinking he was in love with her.
Good heavens, Millie! Oh, yes, of course. I see.
He had told her about the Davis girl.
I understand.
Now, I have no wish, as you will comprehend, that she should be proved either a lunatic or a murderess. I could hardly go on living here after that.
I suppose not.
On the other hand, you know about it.
Yes, I see, and that makes me a problem. You're wondering if I could keep my mouth shut. If I promise...
I'm wondering if I could believe you.
But if I promise...
If things went smoothly, yes. But not if there was any sort of suspicion, any questioning. You would be afraid of being an accessory.
I don't know.
I do. What are we going to do?
I can't see anything else. You'd never be fool enough to do me in. You can't get rid of two corpses.
Oh, I regard it as a better risk than the other. It could be an accident. Or you and Withers could both disappear. There are possibilities in that.
Listen, you can't.
I can, but there may be a way out. There is, Smollett. You gave it to me yourself.
I did. What?
You said you would kill Withers. You have a motive.
Look here, I was joking, of course. You saw that.
You are always joking. Listen, Smollett. I can't trust you. You must trust me. Else I will kill you now and the next minute. I mean that. You can choose between dying and living.
Go on.
Now, there's the old well just outside the sun porch door. That's where I'm going to put Withers. No one outside knows he's come up here this afternoon. No one will ever look there for him unless you tell them. You must give me evidence that you have murdered Withers.
I murdered him. Why do you want that?
So that I shall be dead sure that you will never open your lips on the subject.
I see. What evidence?
George, hit him in the face.
With pleasure, Governor.
No!
I can't stand it!
Keep out of this.
Why, Captain, you should be more careful. Look what your teeth did to my knuckles.
Again, George.
Okay.
No!
Father, how can you?
You women keep out of this. I'm sorry, Smollett, but there must be traces of a struggle between you and Withers. then it will not be altogether safe for you to go to the police.
Can't you take my word, man?
I will, when we're finished. George?
Yeah?
Get the croquet mallet. It's on the sun porch floor.
Right, Governor.
Take your handkerchief to the handle.
Yeah, I got it, Governor. There, Captain. There's the weapon.
As I told you, Smollett. Now, you'll just grasp the end that smashed Withers' head. I shall shoot you if you don't.
Good Lord, man. You can't. All right.
There. That's it. Now, deposit it outside on the side of the house. Out of the rain, of course. No. Wait, George.
Eh?
First, you'd better pull a few hairs out of his head and put them under the nails of Withers' right hand.
Princey, have you gone mad? Do you know what you're doing?
With this gun, yes. Go ahead, George.
Sorry to muss up your hair, Captain.
Ow!
Shut up, Smollett.
There, that's all we need. Now for Withers, we'll fix it all right up.
Smollett, you may turn around. Withers is just there in the sun porch. Draw back the curtain.
Good Lord, Princey.
Yes, messy. But we'll get him fixed up. Now you, Smollett, you've got to drag him through the door and dump him in the old well.
Just beyond the door, Captain.
I won't touch him. I won't.
All right. Stand aside. Out of range, George.
Father!
Keep quiet. My aim's none too great as it is.
Wait! Wait a minute!
That's better, Smollett. Much better. Go on now. In here. You'll have to take him outside.
By the shoulders ought to do it, Captain.
Quiet, George. Go on, Smollett. Go on. You've seen dead men before. Drag him. Drag him!
Come away from the window, dear. Don't look.
But Captain Smollett!
Your father is a very resourceful man, Millicent. I'm sure what he's doing is right.
No! But the captain! I can't stand it!
I say, are you two still at it? There's enough trouble round here without you blubbering.
I'm not blubbering, George Princey!
So you see, Smollett, everything is perfectly safe. They'll never look in our well. You see how safe it is?
I guess it is.
Good heavens, man, you're dripping wet. Why didn't you slip your raincoat on? Tea ready, my dear?
Just a minute, dear. I'll ring for Bridget.
Exactly what you need, Smollett. A cup of tea. Best thing in the world to ward off a cold. Sit down, won't you? Don't mind getting the chair wet. A cigarette? Help yourself.
Ah, Bridget. Put the tray here in front of me on the table. That's it.
I say, Captain, you've gone and cut your lip.
I just knocked it.
Oh, how dreadful. Here, Bridget, give the captain this cup.
Oh, no, thank you. I think I'll be running along now, if you don't mind.
My Captain Smollett, without any tea?
Oh, yes, if you don't mind, Mrs. Princey. If I could just have my raincoat.
I'll get it for you, Captain.
This is very distressing, Smollett, very.
Oh, I'll be all right presently, I'm sure.
Here we are now. Let me help you.
Oh, thank you.
Don't worry, old fellow. Don't worry at all.
Oh, no, I... good afternoon.
Nothing serious, I imagine. A little rest and he'll be right as rain. By the way, Millicent, you're not looking any too well.
No, not well at all. I'm sure it was that croquet court. Being outdoors in weather like this is simply foolhardy.
The mate is right, Millie. You saw what happened to Captain Smollett.
Come along, dear. I shall give you a hot foot bath, and we'll put you to bed. A couple of days in bed, and you'll be fine again.
Get plenty of rest, Millicent.
and don't worry about a thing. That's the best cure.
Well, I guess I'll have a little rest too, Governor. It's a fine afternoon for a nap.
Indeed it is, son. Well, enjoy yourself. I'll see you later. Right now, I have business to attend to.
Number, please.
Get me the police station, please.
Police station? Right away, sir.
Police headquarters, Sergeant Yancey speaking.
Oh, hello, Sergeant. This is Princey of Abbott's Road. I believe you know me.
Oh, indeed I do, Mr. Princey.
Sergeant, a horrible thing has just happened. Quite extraordinary. Murder, in fact.
Murder?
I'm afraid it looks rather bad for, well, a personal friend of ours, unfortunately. We saw him do it. You'd better send someone over right away.
Our man should be there right about now, Mr. Princey.
I beg your pardon?
I say, our man should be there now. Constable Martin has his post right below your house there. Just rang in. It seems Captain Smollett was with him.
Captain Smollett?
He reported some rather queer goings-on at your place. But I certainly didn't understand it was murder. Just don't touch anything, Mr. Princey, and don't worry. Don't worry at all.
No. I won't, Sergeant. Thank you.
Governor? Governor, where are you?
I'm right here. Stop shouting.
We have some visitors, Governor.
Why, yes. Yes, I can see that. Well, Constable, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Princey.
And Smollett. I say, what a remarkable fellow you are. Coming back like this, here to reenact the crime?
Only the one against me, Mr. Princey. The one against the curate, I'll leave to you people.
Extraordinary sense of humour.
Mr. Princey, I just had a look at what's in your will. Not a pretty sight, that. Not a pretty sight at all.
Yes, Captain Smollett was thorough, if nothing else.
You saw him when he did it, sir? Out in the back?
Oh, quite. We were just returning from a walk. Smollett had evidently been laying for the curate, hiding out in those bushes by the road, I imagine.
He was never inside this house?
Never.
And you say, Captain?
I say that, while I was inside this house, a guest of the family, I was coerced into dragging the curate's body outside and dumping it in the well.
Well, there we are.
Not entirely, Constable. If I remove my raincoat, notice how damp I got my clothes when I went outside without it.
Oh, that's interesting, isn't it?
Quite.
He undoubtedly removed his coat at some point between here and your post. I might as well tell you that his weapon, a red croquet mallet, is out by the side of the house. I shouldn't be at all surprised that you would find his fingerprints all over it.
All over the end of the mallet, Constable. The end that mashed Wither's head. Not the end I'd have had to grasp in order to do the mashing.
Governor!
That's a decent try, Smollett, but it won't work. There must be other evidence, Constable. You'll undoubtedly find that when you examine the body. You'll find his hair.
Oh, he means my hair under Wither's nails. Well, sir, if you look carefully, I believe you'll find a few of my precious hairs under his son's nails, too.
Here, what are you trying to...
Shut up. Constable, this is an utter waste of time. So far as the violent struggle between Smollett and Withers is concerned, Smollett's face speaks for itself. Quite eloquently, I believe.
Oh, but no more eloquently than your son's knuckles. As you see, Constable, a fresh abrasion. He did that on my teeth. Or did he?
What?
I say... Or did he? He might have done it on Wither's teeth.
Oh, I see. I see what you mean.
But I didn't. The governor said... He said...
Oh, keep still, you nitwit. Let me think.
As a matter of fact, George, the more I think of it, the more I'm convinced it was your voice that I heard. Quite a vigorous quarrel. Something about the curate jilting your sister.
Oh, don't be ridiculous, Smollett.
Very well, Princey. If your son didn't do it, who did?
That's what I'd like to know. How about it, Mr. Princey?
Well.
And that's just about all the time that we have for Scald's Hall. Coming up in a moment, we'll have Canada Post Rock with John. And so from all of us here at CITR 101.9 FM, please enjoy your weekend.
It could be global, trance, spoken word, rock, the usual and the weird, or it could be something different. Oral Tentacle.